Well, I'm excited. I'm going to begin here where I felt directed starting this year, and that's just to teach on healing for as long as until God says, okay, on to something else. So I'm excited to do that. Healing something that everyone needs in life because there's sickness and death and so forth all around us. It's a curse on the earth. And there are times that we have encounters where we need healing. Now, God created the body to heal itself. And if you give it what it needs, it will do that. But then there's supernatural healing. There's healing as a ministry of the Lord and as part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to begin today in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And we're going to look at the account of Peter's mother-in-law being healed by the Lord. It's one of the first healings. It may be the first, maybe not. It just depends which gospels you're looking at. And things were not necessarily always written in an exact timeline. But in Luke 4:38 says, he arose out of the synagogue. Now, previous to this, he had gone into the synagogue and was teaching Capernaum and some various other parts of Galilee. It's where he began his ministry. And he was teaching anyway. He encountered a man possessed of a demon and cast the demon out of the man, and everyone was really amazed. So he arose out, or after leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon or Peter's house, and Simon's wife's mother-in-law was taken with a great fever, a very high fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, before we go further, I want to point out that when the Lord does something for you, and you understand it was him, and you have an appreciation for it, you will begin to serve him. We could say that the degree of service that we walk in reflects the degree we realize God has blessed us and has done great things for us. When we leave off serving, we've obviously forgotten those things, or it's not very real to us. But if you're very, very sick, or even unto death, and you're instantly healed, you're very, very aware at that point that the Lord healed you and are going to be very, very thankful. In fact, when you're afflicted, generally, there's nothing really on your mind of any greater concern than being healed. So she arose and ministered to them, or began to serve them. She did what she knew to serve them. It doesn't say this, but she probably made them dinner. She probably, this was Peter's mother-in-law, you know, so that's what culturally they would have done. Or you go to grandma's house, they're going to break out the food. So she served them. And all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, say the same thing of her. Now, when the sun was setting, verse 40, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, what one of the things I just want to point out here is that everyone who came to him, he did pray for them and they were healed. Not necessarily everyone in the city was healed, but everyone that came to him. He didn't turn anyone away. Doesn't record that. He didn't pick and choose and say, well, it's my will to heal some of you and not others. No, everyone who came in faith, he healed them. And devils came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, allowed them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Satan didn't play games with the devil. He didn't allow devils to express themselves. That's how they gain power. Now, there are some people who promote what they call deliverance ministry, that it's like they get all into all this talking to demons and stuff and have these conversations. That's not what Jesus did. He told them to shut up and get out. He didn't mess around with them. So I just wanted to point that out as well. Now, the revelation though I want to really bring forth is in Matthew's account in chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 picks up on the same passage here. It says, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. Now, Luke's gospel says of a great fever, very high fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Now, here it says he touched her. In Luke's gospel, it says he rebuked the fever. Now, I'll get to that, more to that in a moment. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. And when the evening was come, they brought forth many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, I want to point out here that sometimes some sickness is a result of an affliction brought on by a devil, but not all sickness is a devil. Some might be. There was, I think it's in Luke 18, it speaks of a woman with a spirit of infirmity. But not all sicknesses were a devil. And some people, by not really having clarity, they just sort of are like someone who hears a bunch of geese in the sky, has a blindfold on, takes a shotgun, just begins shooting up at the sound. In other words, they just say everything they know. I rebuke you, devil, this, that, and the other. And this. And in dealing with devils, you need to deal specifically. It has to be discerned what you're dealing with. Otherwise, you're just shooting with a blindfold on at the sound that you're hearing. Now, it's possible if there's enough geese in the sky, you might hit one. But it's most likely most of the time you're going to miss. And some people, just because now and then they shoot a goose out of the sky with a blindfold on, they think that everything that they're saying and doing is actually working or causing the desired result, and it's not the case. So when it comes to that, which if it's of a spirit or not, that needs to be discerned, or the discerning of spirits. Otherwise, you really do little more than make a fool out of yourself to the devil, because he knows it's not even him, but you're barking like you're barking at him. And I find when people do that, it tends to be a way they deal with in their mind of dealing with it, what they don't understand. So they just say, well, it's the devil. Now, some things are caused by the devil. We'll get into that at another time, but I'm just wanting to point that out here, that in this beginning, he cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Verse 17, now here's what I want to get into, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now there's something the Lord revealed to me upon studying these words in the Greek that I don't really know that I've ever heard anyone teach before, although I would say probably somebody has, because I don't want to project like I'm the only one that has a certain revelation. I'm just saying I've personally not heard someone teach this, but it's very, very important, and it's going to be very clear to you here. He quotes Isaiah 53, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, sometimes some different words are used in the English, disease, sickness, infirmity, and we can tend to use them interchangeably, thinking it all means the same thing, but in reality, it doesn't. They do have some different meanings. And in the word infirmity here in the Greek is asthenia, which is speaking of the consequence or the result of sickness, or what sickness, the product of sickness in our body. Where the word translated in English, sickness, is a word in the Greek that is speaking of the cause of sickness, or the root, the origin of it. Now, one thing when it comes to healing, we do need to recognize there's something that causes the sickness, and then there's things that that cause will produce. When it's in motion, it produces certain things. And Jesus provided healing for both. And we need healing for both. Now, initially here, it speaks of Peter's mother-in-law having a fever. A fever is a byproduct of something else causing a sickness in your body. For example, if you have a virus or bacterial infection, your body will develop fever to try to burn out or flush out that virus or that bacteria. It's a body's response. However, if the fever gets too high, and Peter's mother-in-law had a great fever, according to Luke's gospel, or a very high fever, that can cause serious damage, even death. So he rebuked the fever, the byproduct, but he touched her and healed whatever was causing the fever. Are you with me on this? This is very, very important. There is cause and consequence, and Jesus made the provision of healing for both. Now, when it comes to sin, there is cause and consequence. Death is a consequence of sin. That's why in Romans 8:2, it speaks of the law of sin and death and the law of life in Christ Jesus. Sin brings not only physical death, but spiritual death, and separates you from God. Sin will break fellowship with God, will break you off from the life flow of God. So Jesus took our sin upon himself, where he was taking the consequence. He became death. He paid the price of death for us. But also he took on the sin nature, that desire to please self, to exalt self, to preserve self. He took that on and removed that as well. So in the redemptive work with his body and his blood, he took care of the cause of sin and the result of sin, both. Again, that's very, very important. One of the results of sin is guilt. Jesus paid the price with his blood to remove guilt and condemnation and sin consciousness. But he's also taken the desire for sin, and we're born of a spirit where we have a new desire to please God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, I want to please you. Now, this, with understanding this with sin and sickness, we see it's all part of the same gospel. So Jesus provided for us healing, in that which would be the cause of sickness, as well as that which would result from it. And whenever you're dealing with something, you need to deal with both. If you go maybe to some medical practitioners, they might simply look at the byproduct and want to just treat what's going on in your body. But if you don't get to the root of what's causing it, it just continues to reoccur. So you're doing this treatment ongoing, but it never really changes because the cause is still there. If you're dealing with emphysema from smoking, you're going to have to stop smoking and eliminate the cause of the emphysema. So you could have, you know, healing come. I've heard some people say, well, the devil's bringing it back. No, it could well be, and it's most likely, you didn't eliminate the cause of it, so therefore it continues to come back. And the way people explain the unexplained is call it a devil. To me, that's like raising a flag saying, I don't really know what I'm doing, when you just say everything's a devil. Because not everything's a devil. I'll make reference to Brother Wigglesworth, who particularly in the 1930s, 1940s, was mightily used in the ministry of healing and miracles. I think there's like 20-some people raised from the dead under his ministry. Yet they say he had kidney stones repeatedly, and many times he's bleeding while he's ministering healing to others. Because kidney stones will cut your urinary tract. It's extremely, extremely painful. I had one twice. First time I didn't know what it was. The second time when I found out what it was, God showed me where it came from. It was a result of too much oxalic acid, which came from drinking too much black tea. That was 19 years ago. I've not had black tea since. Iced teas, black tea, okay? And I used to love to drink that in the summertime especially. And that caused kidney stone. Well, I never want that pain again. And I know the cause of it. So I stopped drinking the black tea, and I've never had a kidney stone since. Where I've known many people, they'll say, well, you know, you're going to deal with that the rest of your life. Stop drinking the black tea. Now, there's other things can cause that, but that's the most prominent. So you find out the cause, cut it off, and then, you know, healing can come. So you no longer are dealing with the pain of it, which in my case, God removed the kidney stone. I was healed of it. I mean, it wasn't passing or moving, and to completely through your urinary tract. You can imagine the end game of that, the pain you're going to be going through as a man. And I've talked to women already, had a baby and had a kidney stone, and said, I'd rather have the baby in terms of pain comparison. So sometimes the root cause is something, it's a very simple adjustment. No more tea. Now maybe you can drink it, don't bother you at all. But my body doesn't break that down or process that where it gets too much oxalic acid. If I eat too much shellfish too close together, that creates an abundance of uric acid, which comes from abundance of purine in it. And then that can form gout, which is like finishing nails getting driven into your joints. That's very painful. So if I eat shrimp, I try to do it limit like once a week. I'm okay with that. But I remember already making like seafood chowder, making, you know, a big pot of it and eating it every night for a few nights. And then getting a good case of gout, my big toe, which feels like someone's pounding a finishing nail into your toe, into the joint. That's what it feels like. You don't want that kind of pain. So self-control and wisdom comes into play. There's no devil, not having to cast out a spirit of gout. I say, too much shrimp. And you need the wisdom of God learning these things about your body. Because there are some things that maybe other people can do, you can't do. Your body, you know, when it comes to health and the working of the body, it's not the same with everybody. Anyone who projects one size fits all doesn't really know what they're talking about. And I would advise you, don't take their advice. To say, well, this worked for me, everybody needs to do it. They don't know what they're doing. They are ill-equipped to give advice to anybody because not everything works the same for everybody. I know some people, they can drink a cup of coffee, high-octane stuff, and go to sleep. There's other people, they do that after 2 in the afternoon and they're up till midnight. It just affects people different. So you have the whole element here of cause and effect. And Jesus took the cause and effect, providing healing for us with both. So if I'm dealing with an issue, I want to be healed of, say, if it's causing pain or some other issue. But I also want to find out what is the cause. Because I know if I don't get to the cause, it's going to reoccur. Even if the Lord were to heal it, bang, right there, it's just going to come right back upon me again. Because I'm doing the very thing that would be causing that. So I'll give a personal example or testimony. In 2002, I picked up a tropical parasite in India. And there are things in the parasitic realm and the viral realm and all of that that came as a result of the curse on the earth. Sickness is all around us. I kind of chuckled to myself because of what I understand, how people get all freaked out and weirded out and fearful about, oh my God, there's a virus out there. There's always been viruses out there. There's always been bacteria everywhere, viruses everywhere, parasites everywhere. It's all around us. God designed our body to identify and fight those things through your immune system. The design of health relative to that world or that part of the atmospheric world we live in is to maintain a good immune system. And there's various things. And, you know, that's things you hear about more of late. You can't ignore that. And things like stress shock your immune system, where then it's unable to fight. When you have an autoimmune disease, your body's not recognizing the enemy invading virus or what have you, and it's attacking itself. It's saying, oh, you're some part of your body's the enemy, and it attacks itself. And sometimes unexplained things are autoimmune issues. We need to have a healthy immune system, which is going to be fed by certain vitamins and minerals and herbs and so forth. I'm not going to get into the weeds with all that. It's not my point for today. But I need to just bring that out, that God had designed healing to be a constant in our life. Your body is always at work because God, as creator, designed your body to always be healing itself on a cellular level. The cells regenerate themselves. When that's interfered with, that's where things like cancer come in. because the cells are not regenerating properly. But he designed the body to replace itself, to regenerate itself, as well as to fight off enemy parasitic, viral, and all of that type of thing. So here in my situation, I picked up a tropical parasite in India, and God had shown me, and I've had this numerous times already, where it's really the word of knowledge, where he's revealed to me when certain things happened in my life, in terms of like in a vision. And after the fact, after I was dealing with what I'm about to describe, he revealed to me the day it happened. We were in a rural part of South India, and we were ministering in villages, and the people in this village insisted they're going to feed us. And of course, looking around, you can see everything's unclean. The water they're cooking with, washing with, is unclean. And I had like reservation in my spirit, but I didn't want to offend. So I ate what they made. I think it was like chicken biryani or something like that. And anyway, at the moment, I didn't feel sick or anything like that. But there was tropical parasites within that. And a tropical parasite was gained entry or was residing in my lymphatic system. Now you have your lymphatic system, and then, of course, then your blood circulatory system. And it was causing like a swelling where at that point, I was gaining fluid, my abdomen. I had to wear a size 18 shirt, neck. Now we're 16. At that point, size 18, which is pretty big. And I was swelling up in my belly. I didn't really know what was going on. So finally, I went to a doctor. And he said, well, you have ascites or fluid retention in your abdomen. You have to get that drained. So anyway, they identified it then as cirrhosis of the liver. The parasite there caused what would be related to as hepatitis, which can kill you, by the way. Cirrhosis will kill you. You're walking death if you have cirrhosis of the liver. That will kill you. And the liver's leaking then, so I'm gaining this fluid. So over those years, I was having to have the fluid drained 5 liters at the peak of it, 5 liters every 3 weeks. That's a lot. You think a gallon jug of water plus an extra liter bottle every 3 weeks. That was very, very uncomfortable. That was all the byproduct or the consequence of the parasite who caused what would be the same thing as hepatitis. Now, the medical doctor did not diagnose that. He didn't identify the root cause. And I had gone to a naturopathic guy who, the first time I went to see him, he said, have you been in a tropical country? It's the first time I saw this guy. And I said, yeah, I was in India. He said, you picked up a tropical parasite. It's in your lymphatic gland. And he gave me all these enzymes, and it killed the parasite. So the cause is now dead. The parasites were killed. The cause is dead. However, the consequence was ongoing. And man, in man's point of view, is there's no healing. There's no solution for what you're dealing with. And it was the irony is the medical doctor I went to see was actually from India, and he didn't recognize tropical parasites. And the naturopathic guy said it's because there's no money in testing for that in the United States because this is not a tropical climate. There's no money in it, so they don't test for it. He didn't even, he just blew me off. And it got to the point where, to him, well, the only solution was a liver transplant. Well, I did a little research. He didn't tell me that 50% of the people that get a liver transplant are dead within 1 year. And I'm supposed to submit to that. So I told him, no, Lord's going to heal me. Lord's my healer. And he went so far as to call my wife to try and put fear on her to get her to manipulate me. I said, buddy, don't you ever do that again. And yeah, I sort of left it at that. I don't know if he thought I was going to sue him or what. I mean, I wouldn't have done that, but I just, in his face, don't you ever do that again. You're trying to manipulate her to manipulate me. But that's how the world goes, which, by the way, they make like $300,000 off a liver transplant. So I don't know if maybe I had something to do with that. I don't know. But anyway, I said, no, the Lord's going to heal me. Now, many times when it comes to the effects or the consequence of a sickness, we have in our mind, if it doesn't happen right away, it's not going to happen. And it's very important that we know what we believe. We hold fast our confession and we don't let go of it. And it was in 2015, the Lord healed my liver to where I didn't have any fluid leaking in my abdomen anymore, and hadn't had any fluid drain then for 6 years till my recent encounter with a kidney issue where it's leaking through the kidney. And back in the medical records, they still say, I have a liver issue. I said, no, Jesus healed me of that. And they won't even strike that off. And they know there's no cure for cirrhosis. It doesn't go away. But they have no explanation. Now, here was the cool thing that came out of it. The specialist guy, they would want me to come in every year. And he had handed me off to somebody else. It was just a formality. Again, it's all about lawsuits. And he requested to see me, for me to come in and see me. And so I thought, I wonder why he wants to see me again. So I go in, he begins to tell me, he said he was doing a surgery and there was some type of parasite got into his nervous system. He was doing surgery one day and was paralyzed from the neck down the next day. And he was probably maybe about 45 and he's laying there paralyzed. And he remembered what the crazy preacher man said about Jesus. And he said, I called out to the Lord, and the Lord healed me. And he wanted to thank me for telling him about the Lord. You know, you can go to people who have a degree and everything else, and they can speak what is their factual knowledge and mean well. I don't take anything away from them. I'm not disparaging them. They can mean well, have a good heart, have partial knowledge. But the knowledge of God is greater than the knowledge of other things. And it's the trump card. It's the card that will transcend, the truth that will transcend all other truths. So there is the cause and there is then the effects. He took our infirmity and bare our sicknesses, or he healed us of the byproduct of something afflicting us or sickness working in our body. Now, again, that can be a spirit. It can be as simple as something you're doing to your body, the way you're eating. It could be an injury where something happened to injure you. That was the cause. But then something else could get set in motion, like an infection or something, because you cut yourself or you were had a strong blow to the head and it caused certain things. So there's the cause and the effect. And Jesus is the healer to both. And you have to consider both. Again, if you experience some healing and it comes back, you didn't get to the cause. And that's something we can pray and expect for God to reveal it, whether it's by a word of knowledge or maybe there's a test that's done that would show that. That's not a word of knowledge, by the way. That's something, man. Give man credit where he does something. It bothers me when people want to take what man does and then say God did it. No, man did it. Man did it. They know they did it. It's sort of making a mockery of God, even though you're meaning to give glory to God. If man did it, man did it. If God does it, God does it. Now, the thing I like about God bringing forth healing, there's no side effects. I had a doctor recently say, well, all drugs have side effects. That does not instill confidence in me to take your drugs. Because it's really saying, well, we're not really sure what's going to happen. But when the Lord's healing manifests, which is the best, the ideal, there's no side effects. He'll do a complete job. Now, it's not a point of condemnation if you enlist man's help. That's okay. It's okay if man helps you. The thing is, we don't want to put our trust in man. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is a man who trusts in the arm of the flesh. Blessed is a man whose trust is in the Lord. You can allow man to help you. Just don't make that your source or where you're putting your trust, because you're going to end up doing something at times where maybe you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have gone their way. But you need to know in your own heart where you're at. If you're not in faith in that moment, well, then do whatever you have to do. Be honest with yourself. Sometimes people let things that would cause them to feel like a failure condemn them and say, well, I'm not in this ideal place, so something's wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't need to do that. Just be honest. God always meets us where we are. A sinner doesn't have to make himself righteous before he can be righteous. In fact, that's not possible. You humble yourself, God will meet you at that place of repentance and humility and then lift you out of that. There was a man who came to Jesus who said, I believe, help my unbelief. He said, I know you can do it, but I'm struggling. And the Lord met him where he was at. When we're ministering to other people in any capacity, we always need to have that consciousness of locating the person and meeting them where they are. If someone's dealt with rejection and that's afflicted them, we would have to recognize that and then begin to minister God's love to them and his acceptance, because they need to come out of the rejection or thinking God's going to reject them before they're going to come into a place of faith. again, it's back to diagnosis. With any affliction of the soul, we would be needing to recognize the source of the problem before you can help someone. If you have a problem in a marriage, well, what's at the root of it? And that means you're going to have to listen, not just spout off knowledge. You can share a lot of good things, but if you don't get to the root of the problem, it's not going to do any good. I've learned over the years, relative to anything like with marriage counseling, is to ask certain questions right up front, right off the bat. Are you willing to do your part and not make it about who's more right and who's more wrong? Are you willing to look at your part? Do you believe there's any hope that other person can change? And if I get a no on either one of those, I've done this already. We're finished. There's no point talking anymore. Because if they don't even have hope that things can change, or it's all the other person's fault, and we're just going to prove how wrong they are, nothing's going to change. When it comes to relationships, both people must do their part. Both must do their part. So you have to look to the root of what's my part in this, whatever that might be. Well, when it comes to health and healing, of course, God's well able and willing to do his part. We need to come to him in faith. And we recognize the Lord made provision for us to remove the cause and the consequence, or the effect, or the sickness. And sometimes some people will say, well, okay, we took care of the problem, but you'll deal with this all your life. I always cringe at that. You'll deal with this all your life. I don't accept that. Jesus paid the price to heal us of the consequence of the effects of sickness or whatever is the cause, whether it's the viral world, whether it's an injury, bacteria, whatever it might be, or inflammation is a cause of a lot of sickness as well, inflammatory things like arthritis and so forth. He's a healer with the cause and the healer of the product or the effect that's happening in our body. Don't accept something as like a death sentence or there's no coming back from it, because there is. Praise the Lord.